evening, everybody. I want to thank God for the opportunity to bring the word to us this evening. I want to thank Pastors Fola and Pastor Wura, and I want to thank my family for their support. Amen. Tonight, I just want us to study together. So if you have your Bibles, can we quickly turn to the book of Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12. We'll study together if you wouldn't mind. Can we read verse 1 and 2? Can we read it in different translations if possible? Do you have more than one translation? I'm sorry. Do you have the Amplified as well? Okay. Just two. Okay. I believe we have various and different translations, so let's do that. Let's not rely on the screen. Okay. I will read from Let's start with what we have and then we'll read different translations. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do we have another translation? Okay. Let me read the Good News Translation. It says, verse 2. It says, do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world. Okay, there are certain words I want you to mark out. In the translation you have, you say, do not be conformed to this world. All right? You'll be asking yourself, what does the word conform mean? Okay, so can we study with our dictionaries as well? What does the word conform mean? What does this world, from the translation I'm reading, it says to the standards of this world. Okay, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Full stop. All right? But if you read in this New King James, there's a comma. Right? But in another translation, there's a full stop. So that thought is, there's a bridge. What is following explains what you see preceding. It says, but be transformed by the renewing, by the complete change of your mind. Then is a conjunction. It's like this is what would happen after you are not, when you are transformed. Okay, when your mind is renewed and transformed, then the resultant effect of your and my mind being changed is is what the scripture is saying here. It says, then you'll be able to know the will of God. Then it also then explains it, what the will of God is. So I'll read this scripture backwards for you. All right? It says, the will of God is perfect, is pleasing, is good. But for you to know the will of God, your mind needs to be transformed. And for your mind to be transformed, you don't have to conform to the standards of this world. Are you following? Am I boring you already? It means that for us in this season, where God is saying to us, our prayer is not my will be done, but your will. Before, if you go with that theme, it says, the will of my Father. You will find out that it sounds like a phrase. It sounds like something has been said before that. It sounds like somebody praying, somebody struggling with two wills. Okay? There's one will and there's another will. And for... Sir, can I borrow? I hope I don't mix them up. Okay. All right. You know, I like this... This. Okay. So there are two wills. There's the will, my will, and there's the will of God. There's your will, and there's the will of God. Please follow. Please follow tonight. Just follow me. And the scripture is saying to us that the will of God is good. The will of God is acceptable. It's pleasing. The will of God is perfect. Right? But the will of man is directly opposite to the will of man, to the will of God. How do I know? The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. All right? And the heart of man, scripture says, is desperately wicked. So if my heart is desperately wicked, no good thing can come out of my heart. Why is that important? That is important because when we talk about the will, We are talking about the seat of decision making. When we talk about the will, we talk about decision making. Okay? We're talking about the set of parameters that regulates or guides your decision making. Okay? So in your heart or the soul of man, we have the mind. That's your intellect, where you think and reason. We have the heart, which is your emotion, the seat of your feelings and desires. Then we have your will, where you make choices and you act, where decisions are made and actions stem from. Okay? So when we talk about the will, most times we talk about these three things as one. Okay? The scripture says the heart of man, the seat of where my emotion stems from, where my thinking and reasoning happens, where my choices stem from, is desperately wicked. That means it's corrupt. And no good thing can come out of my mind, my heart, my thinking. My thinking is selfish, it's corrupted, it's selfish, it's self-centered, it's thinking about me, myself, and I. Okay? Okay, follow me. Scripture is saying that the will of God is good, it's perfect, it's pleasing. But for you and I to know this will, we must be transformed. And this transformation, you see it in the first chapter of Romans chapter 12, where we read, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the prerequisite for understanding the will of God is one has to be born again. One has to be born again. But then the question then becomes, even sometimes we that are born again still struggle with the will of God. We that are born again still make decisions that are contrary to the perfect will of God. Why is that? I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to 9. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Sorry, people, I just like opening my Bible. Don't be upset. It says, let me read 12 and come down. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Remember where we read in Romans chapter 12 says, that do not be conformed to this world, to the standards of the world, because the world has a spirit. There's a spirit that controls and sets the standards of the world. You need to, this is very, very important, please. This is very important. There is a spirit that rules the world. There's a spirit that rules the world, and that spirit sets the curriculum, sets the standards for the world. So that spirit sets the standard for money. It sets the standard for education, sets the standard for marriage, sets the standard for childcare, sets the standard for the economy. That spirit is the spirit of this world. We need to understand this. That spirit sets the standard. Okay? And it says, but we have received a different spirit when we are born again. And the spirit we received is a spirit that is from God. Who is from God? That we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, that man that we call the carnal man, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Anybody who is not born again, or anybody still walking in carnality, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. And one of the things of the Spirit of God is his will. Just follow me. The Holy Spirit would tie it all together for you. The carnal man cannot receive the principles of marriage that God gives. So when we talk about marriage, there are two types of marriage. There's a marriage that is instituted by God, and there's a marriage, the world standard. Remember what I told you. The world has a standard. God has a standard. They don't mix. The carnal mind, the unregenerated mind, the mind that is still half in the world, half in church, cannot receive it. The world, the mind that is not saved, cannot even receive it. Because how can you tell me that my wife who is anointed, sophisticated, rich, blessed, you know, sits as the CEO of a company, should come home and submit to her husband who doesn't even have a first degree. How can you tell me that I should love my wife when she has cheated on me, been unfaithful, and I should still love her and lay down my life for her? Talk to me. The standard of God is different from the standard of the world. As I was preparing, something hit me that I've never seen before. I've never heard anybody teach it. I've never heard anybody preach it. But it's a question that's been on my mind for a long time. And it's the question of divorce. I know it's a sensitive topic. But I've always wondered, when people say, God told me this is my wife, or this is my husband, and then all of a sudden, over time, they say, irreconcilable differences, I'm walking away from this marriage. Is it that God lied? Or is it that they didn't hear well? It's been something that I've asked for years, and it just came to me. God answered it for me, and I this will help somebody. And God told me that he used Jesus as an example for me. He said, do you know that thousands of years before Jesus came, he was prophesied? It was written. Isaiah talked about Jesus' coming. So the people knew that Jesus was coming. John the Baptist came and then says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is the Messiah. He's the one I've been telling you about. He's the Son of God. That is what? Two. The second confirmation, right? Please follow me. Are you still here? Okay. The third confirmation was that God spoke. That service was a power-packed service. The Holy Spirit moved. The heavens opened and God said, behold, this is your husband. Three confirmations. But how come the people divorced Jesus? And God was telling me, the problem is not that maybe they didn't hear, sometimes people genuinely might not have heard. But it says, sometimes people hear clearly. But he said to me that, I'm running ahead of myself. He said that the problem is not that you did not hear the will of God when you prayed and asked him for his will. The challenge is the state of the heart that received that word. Somebody could be your husband, but in your heart, you would have wanted him to be a bit taller. You would have wanted him to, have a bit more money. And on the surface, it looks like an innocent, I would have wanted more. But over time, the carnal mind cannot receive the things of the spirit. Because when the situations get tough in that marriage, you already had an alternative. You already had a complaint. You already had something in your heart that wasn't right before God. I'm jumping ahead of myself. That revelation just came. He said, if you read in 1 Corinthians 3:3-9, it says, these are the signs of a carnal mind. Can we just look at it? For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, So the heart receives that this is my husband, but in the heart there's envy, there's strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? So you see, in marriages, we're not one, we are still two. I'm still from Liverpool and you're still from Manchester. I'm still a man and you're still a woman. And these things do what? Make it impossible to receive the will of God. I'm just running. Can we look at a practical example? Can we look at the book of Genesis chapter 13? Genesis 13. Because of time, I'll start telling you the story. In Genesis chapter 13, that verse, that chapter opens with the problem between Abraham's workers and Lot, his nephew's workers. They were living in the same house. Like I was giving you an example of a marriage, they were living in the same house. Everything was okay. They were growing. Everything, their careers were progressing. Their finances were doing okay. Great, right? Then their in-laws started having problems. You know, sometimes in marriage, it's not the two people, it's usually outsiders. Sorry. So their workers started having problems. And then the matter came to Abraham and Lot. And in verse 10, let me read in verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together, and there was strife. Remember the scripture we read? Follow me, talk to me. Are you here? Are you here? Praise God. Praise God. Okay. And there was what? There was strife between the headsmen of Abraham's livestock and the headsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Let me not touch on that. So Abraham said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my headsmen and your headsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plains of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Praise God. Who made the right choice here? Talk to me. This is a Bible study. Who made the right choice? How do you know he made the right choice? Talk to me. How do you know he made the right choice? How do we know he made the right choice? Sorry? Yes, yes. But how do we know he made the right decision? Thank you for that. Okay. Sorry. We saw the end. Don't worry, I'm not giving it. It's not exam. I'm not testing you people. Okay? Don't be scared. we read in the end he made the right decision, right? But let's put ourselves in this situation and let's use this as a practical test, okay? Can we analyze this? Okay, because we face challenges every day. In this month, God is saying, not my will be done. We are saying, not my will, but your will be done. Okay? But let's study. Did Abraham pray for the will of God at this point? Talk to me. Why? He knew how to... He knew how to solve the problem. Okay, praise God. Thank you so much. Out of the mouth of babes. If you're taking notes, please write this down. The will of God is not just a specific decision we make at a particular point in time. I repeat, the will of God is not just a specific decision we make. Please, can you type it out? The will of God is not just a specific decision we make at a particular point in time. The will of God is actually a system of reasoning. It is a value system we live by. I repeat, the will of God is actually a value, is actually a system of reasoning. It is a value system we live by. Praise God. So can you look up? Most times we always think when we say the will of God, we just want to go to God and ask him, Lord, what is your decision about this? What should I do about this? Right? You understand that as parents, you don't walk around with your children everywhere telling them what to do. Do you? Rakush, one of your sons doesn't live in Liverpool, right? Where does he live? Stockton Trent. You don't call him every day and say, son, this is what you do now. When you wake up, do you say, God, what is your will? When you are in the bathroom, you say, God, what is your will? Should I brush my teeth? This is very important. Most times, God wants, remember I said to us that the decision, the central processing unit of our decisions or will is the heart. And what is in the heart usually informs the decisions you make. The information or the set of information in your heart that you have at a particular point is what helps you decide, make decisions. So if the information is wrong, your outcome will be wrong. You choose wrongly. But if information is right, you make the right decision. So God, what God wants to bring us to is living his will by time. Yes, in certain cases, in certain instances, we need to consult him. Lord, what do you want me to do in this instance? But majority of the times, he wants you to learn right and wrong. He wants you to learn us to learn his good, perfect, and acceptable will. If we know it, then we will make the right decisions. If our heart is transformed, if our mind is transformed, and if it's not conforming to the standards of the world, most times you will make the right, you will just know the will of God. In this instance, Abraham did not pray for the will of God. Because Abraham walked and made some choices, I will show you, in line with scriptures. Let's look at the first thing Abraham did. Abraham said to Lot. That looks very simple and looks very ordinary, but it's profound. Why is it profound? The Bible says, if you have a misunderstanding with somebody and the people don't come, you should go to them. You didn't get me. There was a misunderstanding. Abraham did not wait. Abraham is older than Lot by far. If Abraham had waited as a husband and said, my wife offended me, let me, she has to come and apologize. He is already walking outside the will of God. No matter what he prays, God will answer you according to the idol in our heart. I'll come to that. What was the first thing Abraham did? Talk to me. I've just said it now. He went to Lot. The first principle was the principle of scriptures. He went to him and said, my brother. You know, most times, don't know if you are like me, is a cold treatment, the silent treatment. I don't want to talk about it. Can't you see I'm upset? As if your spouse is a mind reader. As if your boss knew what happened. Go and make peace. Because if you do, you're already walking in the will of God. You don't need to pray for the will of God, because he has made his word known to us. His word is his will. So you are here, you are quarreling, and you are waiting for them to bring two goats and one cattle to come and beg you, with one ostrich and giraffe and two kidneys of a turtle. You are wasting your time. Just go, you are carnal. Go and initiate the reconciliation process. That is the will of God. I know you people are not looking at me. You are turning away your face as if I'm not talking to you. You know I'm talking to you. You know the Lord is talking to you. So, the first thing he did, he went. I want us to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans 12, 18. Hebrews 12, 4. Romans 12, 18. Is it on the screen? Romans 12. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live what? Talk to me. Live what? With all men. I know some of you are now saying no, so not women included. All men, women are included, please. Children are included. My daughter, something happened. I know she's watching at Higher Days. Something happened and she told me, this is what mom said. This is what her mother said. And I was disputing. I said, no. And later, I found out that was actually what her mom said. She was acting on what her mom said. I went to her and I called her. I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about what I said. I got the right information. You are right. And I was wrong. Parents, please, go and apologize to your children. Okay? Scripture says, parents, do not exacerbate don't exacerbate them. So, that is walking in the will of God. You don't need to pray. Please. Just do what the word of God says. Okay? So, let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. I'm running. Hebrews 12, 14. pursue peace with all people. What does the word pursue mean? What does pursue mean? Run after. Run after. Don't wait. Don't let the sun go down. This thing has festered in your family, has festered around you for a long time, and you are comfortable. You come to church, you raise your hands, you sing two fast songs, one slow one, and roll on the floor. No, you are not. Pursue peace. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. You cannot see the will of God. We are praying about the will of God. No, we can't know the will of God if we are not first. Abraham pursued peace with Lot. Okay. What was the next thing that Abraham did? Because I said to us that the will of God is a value system, a way of thinking. So Abraham wasn't thinking, let's bomb this family, let's scatter this family. No, I'm the elder, I'm the elder. Actually, God spoke to me and you joined me in my ministry. Now you want me to apologize to you? No, Abraham put all that aside and went and bent down and came to Lot's standard to make peace. The next thing is that Abraham, who was older, still said to Lot, choose first. You choose first. What does that mean? He was not selfish. He was what? He was humble. What again? Give me more words. Noble. Great, great. Please leave him. That's my boy. He was noble. What else do you notice there? Abraham was not after his own fundamental human rights. Is this scriptural? What Abraham did, is this scriptural? Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans 12, 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, please. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. What does that mean?
Don't choose first.
Don't choose first. Putting others, but what does it mean really to put others before you? You know, some of you, brother, you've not called me since, so you've not called me. You've not called me. So you're now quarreling with me because I didn't call you. Why not call me first? No. Are you? These things happen in your life. Open the door. You got there first. You are meant to go through. But just hold the door. Let another person pass. You know, sometimes we make scripture, we make it sound high. We don't bring it down. You got to you got there. You got to Asda or Tesco. I'm not advertising for them. There's one apple left. You got there, you are to pick it, but you saw somebody coming. Oh, that apple, I wanted apple too. You can have it. You see, as we are bringing scripture down to, and this is how you know the will of God. This is the will of God. It's not,
apple.
Maka yaga yaga. Lord, should I take this apple or should I not take this apple? Don't waste your time. Let some other person have it. Let some other person go first. Abraham said, Lord, choose first. It was his right to choose first. But he said, no, you choose. Why? Your set of... See, listen. I said to us that the will of God is a set of... is a way of thinking. Why would... What would make you allow other person even cheat you? Because you know that the king and the judge of the whole earth sees everything. He, being God, laid down his life for us that we might be reconciled back to the Father. You must not be first in everything. Because in trying to be first in everything, most times we walk outside the will of God. We pierce ourselves and our lives with so many sorrows. The third thing is that Abraham was not controlled by money. He wasn't intimidated, or his decision making wasn't money driven. Because most times we think that if we go last or if we go second, we lose the bigger share. And we see that in Genesis chapter 14, when he was talking to the king of when he came and saved Lot, and he said, I won't take anything off you. Because sometimes we don't do good for people except they pay us. Everything we do, you want to. So my mom told me a story of somebody, of an auntie of mine. She went to visit her in America. Oh, when she said she was coming back, she didn't come back on time, and she was wondering, you know. So my auntie came back later and said, oh, sorry, something happened at work. What happened at work? The person she was looking after, an old lady, when it was time for the lady, my auntie, to close for her shift, the person that was supposed to come and take over couldn't come. So they had a dilemma. What do they do? They can't leave her, the old woman. So they had to call the woman's son. And the woman's son said, I cannot come and look after my mother except you people pay me. Don't let money, the pursuit of it, make you destroy your health, destroy your family, mortgage your marriage, destroy your future, all because you are pursuing money and what to eat and what to drink. You take jobs that will take you away from your family. These things are not popular. But when we say, God, what's your will? This job. God is looking at you. One, the parameter. You are working by the standards of the world, not the standard of God. He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, not according to your degree or my degree, not according to the number of hours and shifts you do. It is his provisioning. I've shared it. At a point, we only had one income. My wife and I had one income. I'm like, what do we do? But we found out at the end of the month, we had more money to even give on one income than we would have on two income. Why? Because if we had two income, we would have used one income plus to even pay other people to look after our children. And we would not be there. found out that God, when we need something, we ask him, then what other people would work, earn salary and spend money to buy, God was giving us those things for free. Somebody would just come and say, oh, you need microwave. Ah, here's microwave. Microwave is almost £100 or something, right? God has provided it. Oh, somebody gives us a fridge. Something we would have bought with our money. Don't let money, material things, decide what you do or how you choose. The will of God is that you know that he's the one that supplies. Abraham wasn't afraid to say to Lot, you choose. And Lot chose by what he could see. There are some jobs you shouldn't take. The Bible says that Lot was, the people in Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked. But on the outside, they have good company policy, company car. You know, they have good benefits. The holiday package is good. But there's wickedness. Every day in that job is wicked. You are seeing it's wickedness around you. But you chose. And you know the interesting thing about the will of God, friends? The scary part for me is what the scripture says, that if we come to God with an idol in our hearts, he will answer us according to the idol in our hearts. If you place money above family, above our walk with God, above our spirituality, and we come to God and ask him, God, should I take this? God will tell you, yes, go. You will succeed. You will prosper. Because the idol in our heart and my heart is that money. You're taking a job that wouldn't allow you to come for Bible study. A job that wouldn't allow you, a business that wouldn't allow you spend time with your children. And you are asking the will of God. I think I'll stop here today. It's one thing to know the will of God. It's another thing to understand it. And it's another thing to do it. Because of our time, I'll stop here. God said in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. God shows you his will. Will you do it? Will I do it? The five things, five wills, or six, said the will of God is our sanctification. The will of God is suffering. You know, sometimes God just wants you to go through the suffering because he's working out something far greater. And the devil bring options to you. Imagine being married to my wife for 9 years and we had no children. All the children were dying. 4 miscarriages, 2 preterm deaths. One of our daughters was born and we watched her die. Ectopic pregnancy and all this. And you know, the standard of the world will tell me, maybe we should go and try with another lady. Let's see if, you know, if you are actually, if the problem is you or your wife. There are some things you are going through and it looks looks like pain and suffering, and the standard of the world would have gone and done something else. But God, that is the will of God, your sanctification, that through suffering, you will inherit the promise. It's not what you want to hear, but it's a system of thinking that God will never fail. I just want us to bow our heads as we pray tonight. Before you ask God to show me your will, are you doing what the Word of God says? The will of the Israelites was to leave Egypt. This bondage, this captivity. Lord, I want my British passport. I'm tired of this everyday home office to do this. Lord, I want to have my own property. I'm tired of living in a rented property. Lord, I want to have my children. I'm tired of this. And we're asking for so many things. But first and foremost, are we doing what God has already told you to do from scriptures? I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. I would take care of you. They left Egypt. They wanted freedom, but they died in the wilderness because they were having a carnal mind. You are asking God to show you this and tell you his will, but is your mind being renewed? Have your mind been renewed about what marriage is? That marriage is not for better. It is for better for worse. That if no matter if I find out that you don't have a womb, I will still stay with you. If I find out that you are poor, I will still stay with you. If I find out that you have cancer, I will still stay with you. If I find out that things are hard, I will still stay with you. Friends, I want you to talk to God. Do not conform to this world. Don't conform to the standard of the world, the way they do school, the way they do jobs, the way they handle money. Don't conform to the world. Don't Christian the standards of the world, but be transformed. Metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewing of your thinking, of your mind. Why not pray and say, Lord, renew my mind. Lord, change my mind. I have a traditional mindset about marriage, about what a man should do, about what a woman should do. Lord, I have this mindset about how to live that is contrary to your word. Lord, I'm choosing first. I'm always the one causing problems in relationships. Lord, I'm the one being moved by material things and not heaven. Lord, change my mindset that I will not be like Lot, but I will be like Abraham. We came into this world with nothing. Has it occurred to you that we go with nothing? The degree you're pursuing, the thing you're chasing and killing your life, you will not go with it. But we'll stand before God to give account of every careless word that came out of our mouth. Have you thought about it? Is heaven, is eternity at the forefront of your relationship and interaction with people? Is eternity? Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Abba Judas was appointed an apostle, but his mindset, he was always stealing money. And one day he betrayed Jesus and lost his bishopric. Bible said, let his bishopric another take. And he cast himself out. Even though he led prayers, 12 noon prayers, he preached, he did all the things that the apostle did. But his mindset, he was a thief. A Christian thief. Married, but an adulterer. Father, have mercy upon me tonight. Lord, transform me, transform my thinking. Lord, show me your word, expose me to the word. He that covers his sins will not prosper. Lord, every covering, Lord, I ask for your mercy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Not my will, but your will be done. Blessed be your name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.